Welcome to the December 2nd, 2007 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is presented by our pastor, Reverend Raymond Smith, and is entitled, Getting Ready for God. Guest music is by the Harmony Grove Dulcimer Club. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
It's good to see everybody this morning. We are so glad that you have decided to join us for worship. We'd like to find out who all is here, members and guests alike. There are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests to sign those. Let us know that you were here. If you'd members, it's a chance for you to give us any change in contact information. Guests, if you'd fill out that information as you feel comfortable, that would be great. If you could send it to the end of the pew so everybody has a chance to sign it, and then when it gets to the end, if you send it back to where it started, that would be great. Also, the first person who signed it this morning, when it gets back to you, if you could rip out the pages that you used today, that would be helpful for our ushers. It is time for our Lottie Moon Christmas offering. We total as of this morning, as of a few minutes ago, $4,665 is the total that we have right now. That's really close to one candle. Oh, it's lit up. That's why it's lit up. And we know that you're going to get us closer to 5,000, which is what it should actually be. So we went ahead and lit one candle to encourage you to reach our goal. So I think I made that announcement like I was supposed to. There you go. Several other announcements. We do appreciate your supporting of the Christmas missions offering that we support here at College Park. So other announcements I'll make today. We are having a children's celebration. That's when the kids go out of here. We go to Smith Hall. We will be doing that. If you look into your bulletin, as I am right now, we'll be leaving during hymn number 197 and going to Smith Hall. So want all the children to know about that. Today we are a little less than 2 weeks away from our youth missions fundraiser, the barbecue dinner. It will be December 15th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. In Smith Hall. We are trying to raise funds. Our high school youth are going to the Bahamas on a spring break mission trip from March 29th through April the 3rd, and we are trying to raise funds to make that happen. We are looking for a good crowd that day. We're going to have enough barbecue for 500 people. So either you need to eat a lot of barbecue or get a friend to eat some with you. So one or the other. We're going to be selling tickets. You can see most of our youth have tickets to sell. We will be selling some as you leave church today. Tickets cost $8. And if you a kid 12 and under, it's $6. So checks are made payable to the church, and we will be we'll have some youth that will help sell those today, as well as on every Wednesday and next Sunday and the following Wednesday. So there'll be plenty of opportunities for you to get the word out and buy your tickets for December 15th is our barbecue dinner fundraiser. Speaking of food, I am headed to all of our in-state colleges tomorrow morning. We're taking an exam pack run. We need lots of homemade goodies, store-bought goodies, whatever kind of goodies you want to buy, and bring them to church. We are making tonight, we're making those exam packs. So we need those things tonight, if at all possible, individually wrapped items. If you can get them to the church this afternoon, that would be great, and put them in the Adult One kitchen. That would be very helpful. And that's a reminder to our youth. We are getting together at about 5:30 this afternoon to put those together. I'll provide you food, so come on. It'll be free food and a good time. We'll be having that this afternoon. Wanted to remind you, we are still selling cookbooks. We're down to just a few cookbooks remaining. And you need to get those. You need to buy them now because there may be a chance that you don't have one. Isn't that right? Exactly right. So. Yeah, we're working it hard. I'm selling it hard. I'm selling a lot hard this one. So we need your help at getting those cookbooks out. And here's something free for you. Cindy Johnson is having a Christmas concert tonight at 7 o'clock for our life service. We want you to come and to be a part of that special worship time tonight at 7 in Smith Hall. I think that's all the announcements. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. You've given us your information on the pew pads. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. They want to give something to you. If you're a guest this morning, we invite you to just raise your hand as they come back down the aisles, and they will be glad to give you this packet of information. You will find a letter from our pastor as well as information about our church, and also you will find a current newsletter. It tells you what's going on in the life of our church right now. It is Advent. It is a great time to be in worship together. This morning we have a great privilege. Several of our children are going to be leading us in worship. And that reminds me that for next Sunday, you do not want to miss worship next Sunday morning. It is Children's Sunday. Our children will be responsible for leading in worship next week. They'll have the entire service, all the music, the message, the prayers, the scripture readings, everything. So we want you to be here next Sunday for that. But they're going to also lead us in worship this morning. So we want to welcome the children as they come from the back of the sanctuary.
Today is the beginning of our month-long emphasis on the International Missions Offering. You will notice in your bulletins both the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering and the CBF Global Missions Offering. You will also find specially marked offering envelopes.
Both the Lottie Moon and Global Missions Offerings are used to fund international missions as we seek to embrace the world and tell the story of Jesus. Our church-wide goal for the International Missions Offering is $25,000. Each week we will light the candles on the table to signify our progress toward that goal.
The offering will be collected throughout the month of December. Please prayerfully consider how you will give to this offering and support the missions work that is going on around the world. Also be in prayer for the international missionaries who are spreading the gospel to the uttermost parts of the world.
We will continue our emphasis on international missions on Wednesday night at 6:45. Our speaker will be Reverend Pong, the pastor for the Chinese ministry group that meets here at College Park. Please join us for supper and stay to hear Reverend Pong share about his experiences in China and how our offerings can help share the good news with the Chinese people.
Didn't they do good? Give them a hand. There you go. All right. Christmas. It is Christmas time, and we are so pleased to have our children leading in worship this morning. Coming now to help us in beginning the Advent season is the Summers family with the lighting of the Advent wreath.
I am reading a passage from Isaiah 43 through 5. A messenger is calling out in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord. Make a straight road through it for our God. Every valley will be filled in. Every mountain and hill will be made level. The rough ground will be made smooth out. The rocky places will be made flat. Then the glory of the Lord will appear and everyone will see it. The Lord has spoken."
And I'm reading from Romans 8, verse 18 through 25. "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from the bondage of to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. And today we're going to light the candle of hope.
Amen. You will find a responsive reading in your bulletin this morning. It is our invitation to share in worship. Worship is something we do together as a family, as the body of Christ, as fellow believers. I invite you to stand now for our invitation to share in worship. Please read the dark print aloud as I read the light print. Let us praise our Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah,
Jesus is coming. At Christmas, Jesus came as a baby.
Hallelujah, Jesus is coming.
He came as one of us because he loves us.
Hallelujah, Jesus is coming.
He came to save us from our sin.
Hallelujah, Jesus is coming.
He died, rose from the dead, and lives in heaven. He will come again because he loves us.
Hallelujah, Jesus is coming.
We praise Jesus who came as a baby and will come again at the end of time.
Hallelujah, Jesus is coming.
Amen. You may be seated. Will you pray with me? Father, as we stop to think about Christmas and the entire Advent season, I wonder what it was like. Those few days before Jesus was born. Was the earth just kind of moving along, going through their daily schedule, not even thinking about what was happening? Busy, hectic schedules are the same things that we have. As we run from one responsibility to the next, from one tradition to another. Father, let us not lose sight that Jesus is coming. That Christmas is not found in the busyness of our calendars. Christmas is found in the stillness of the manger. And the expectation of grace and mercy. Of a new life, a new start. A new beginning. Help us to focus on that, we pray, during this hour of worship. Because only in Christ do we find our hope. Only in you do we find our reason and our purpose. And so we come expecting to see Jesus, needing to see Him. That's why we are here. For we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our scripture reading for this morning comes first from the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, the 122nd Psalm. I rejoice with those who said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Our feet are standing in your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built like a city that is closely compacted together. That is where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to praise the name of the Lord according to the statute given to Israel. There the thrones for judgment stand, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May those who love you be secure. May there be peace within your walls and security within your citadels. For the sake of my brothers and friends, I will say, peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your prosperity. Also from the Old Testament, in the book of Isaiah, the second chapter, beginning in verse 1. This is what Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as chief among the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many peoples will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his way so that we may walk in his paths. The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war any more. Come, O house of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. And from the New Testament, in the book of Romans, in the 13th chapter of Romans, beginning at verse 11. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. May God bless the reading and understanding of his holy word. As we turn to a time of prayer, I'd like to give you an update on someone that's near and dear to this congregation, Miss Ethel Martin, wife of our pastor emeritus, Foy Martin. Miss Ethel's not doing very well. She's at Baptist Hospital. And she needs your prayers. And the family has asked that, or has said that Ethel is not in a position where she can receive visitors. What they really need for you to do is just pray for her. So I know that you will do that, and we will do that this week. We want to share that prayer request with you. Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, on the first Sunday of Advent, as we turn our hearts and thoughts and minds to Christmas and the season that is beginning and that is upon us, as we see the hope candle lit by the Summers family, see those candles and think about what is to come in the weeks ahead. Let us not rush ahead to Christmas without going through the process, without taking time to think about hope and to think about what you are giving us, the gift of hope, the gift that we can share with others. Lord, just like Miss Eth Lee, who we lift up in prayer to you, and others who are struggling physically and emotionally and spiritually, Lord, we bring them before you because we know that you are the hope that we have, that you are the answer to our prayers. We thank you for listening to our prayers, and we lift our brothers and sisters up to you and give thanks for the hope that they have in you. Lord, as we seek to be brothers and sisters, both to those among us at College Park and to those outside these walls, we need to know the hope ourselves if we're going to share it. Lord, if we're going to, as the scripture in Isaiah says, if we're going to walk in the light of the Lord, we need to take hold of your promise. We need to understand. We need to believe and take hold of that hope so that we can have it for ourselves. It can live in us and we can share with others. Lord, as we lift our brothers and sisters up in prayer and the people that are sitting to our right and to our left this morning, and who will be to our right and to our left all this week, wherever we go. We give thanks for the hope that we have in you. We ask that you would help build that hope within us, to help us grow closer to you this week, so that we can spread hope and we can spread love and we can spread joy to others. Lord, let us not just do Christmas. Let us be about the work of the Lord at Christmas and throughout this Advent season, that we may do what you have called us to do, to be ministers of the gospel and to be who you've created us to be. It is in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for this beautiful day you have made. We thank you for the many blessings you have given us. We thank you for this season when we celebrate the arrival of your Son Jesus, who gives hope and peace for all his believers. We now ask your blessings on the gifts we're about to receive. Use these gifts in accordance with your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Invite you to take your Bible and turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. We'll be reading. Our lectionary reading comes from Matthew. It's the 24th chapter. We'll be beginning in verse 36 and read down to verse 44. Matthew 24, 36 through 44. Jesus has given some instructions or some indicators about the end of the age, and as he addresses them, he says, "No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. That is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. But you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." Let's pray together. Dear Father, we pray that as we enter in a time of study and learning, that you would open our hearts, that you would open our minds, Father, that we can hear very clearly from you what you would teach us on this day. Father, we know that your word is holy. We know that your word was given by you, Father, to teach us. So let us receive it as you instruct us. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Have you ever anticipated something so much that you could hardly stand it? It could be an arrival of something or someone, or it could be an event. Teenagers, if you're 15 years old, what is it that you eagerly await? Yes, freedom in the form of that little card. Yes, driver's license. Children, during this time of year, they're all in there, I guess, but what do children think in your mind's eye when you were a child during this time of year? What was it that you eagerly awaited? Ah, yes. Christmas morning. Christmas morning. Expectant mothers. What day is it that you eagerly await? The day that child will be born. Which leads us kind of naturally to Mary, mother of Jesus. What day do you think it was that she eagerly awaited, that she anticipated? The day that the Messiah would be born. God with us. God had prepared her for that day, but there had to be all kinds of mixed emotions as she looked forward to the arrival of the Son of God. Think about the generations of Israelites that for hundreds of years had heard about the coming Messiah. We've read in Isaiah. There's all kinds of Old Testament references looking forward to that day. The hope. That's what sustained them. That's what carried them through their battles, their conflicts. Eagerly awaiting the coming of the Messiah. You know, ironically enough, we're kind of in the same place today in a certain regard, except that we have the advantage of knowing more about the Savior that we await because He's already walked among us and revealed Himself to us. But today we talk about preparation for Jesus' coming. And as we prepare, I hope that Advent is not, as Jeff has already alluded to, I hope that it's not about how many shopping days are left till Christmas. I hope it's not about looking at the calendar and going, oh, gee. I hope it's not looking at your budget and going, oh, gee. I hope that's not what Advent is for you. I hope that what Advent is for you is a time to relax a little. Take a deep breath. Reflect upon the beauty of the season and why it's beautiful. Because we are looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. You know, at our house, we try to get our Christmas shopping done. I put focus on try. We try to get our Christmas shopping done before Advent. Do a lot of it, a couple of weeks after Christmas when everything goes on sale. And then you spend a whole year convincing our children that's what they want the next year. But, you know, we try to get that shopping done so that when it comes December 1st, we can relax just a little bit. Because the schedule is hectic enough without having to worry about shopping. Now, if you want to and you get pleasure in going and picking out a few things, that's one thing. But if it's the pressure of having to get it done, man, the schedule can just wear you out. Interestingly enough, as I was looking at the passage for this morning, it is our lectionary passage, and I thought, well, we need to do it. But I thought, well, what is the connection here? And obviously there's a connection in the person of Jesus. But interestingly enough, our passage in Matthew actually talks about the second advent, the second coming of Christ. And what does Jesus say about that? He says, but about that day and hour, no one knows. Verse 36. No one knows. The preacher on TV doesn't know. The guy who's writing the books that's making millions a year selling these books, he doesn't know. Jesus said, the Son doesn't even know. Only the Father knows. And no one knows anything except that the day is coming when all that God has promised will be consummated. So in that regard, and in that way, I guess we're a lot like the children of Israel. We're still waiting for the complete fulfillment of the promises of God. But Jesus' message to us this morning in verses 36 through 44, his message, I believe, to us is threefold. First of all, he says, keep awake. Okay, be ready. Be ready. In other words, pay attention. This passage talks about watching for God's presence. Watch for his presence. Also, it talks about working for God's peace. And finally, I believe it teaches us to hope for God's fulfillment. Scripture-wide, all the way through Scripture, those are some themes that run through it. And specifically in this passage, first of all, I believe Jesus is saying, watch for God's presence. Watch for God's presence among us. Pay attention. Now, if you think about the routine of life, it is absolutely understandable and very easy just to get lulled to sleep. The routine can lull you to sleep. It can dull your senses. Have you ever ridden on a train? Boy, you're dating yourself. But have you ever ridden on a train? You know that tick-tick, 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 tick-tick. Back after they do the interstates, the little, when they fill in the gaps in the concrete interstates, that tick-tick, tick-tick. Tick, 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 tick. The clock that you put into a crib or you put into the little box or the doghouse when you have a puppy that won't go to sleep. That tick, tick, tick. What do you think the routine does? Lulls you to sleep. It takes you to sleep. And that's what can happen to us if we're not on guard, if we're not watching as Christians. We can get lulled to sleep by the routine of life and we'll miss God's presence with us. But see, our call is to be awake. It's to look all around us, to see the way that God is with us. You know, remember, Jesus has come. He's already come once. The first advent has occurred and the Holy Spirit is ever present. And we don't have to wait for some far off event to happen the first time. It's already happened the first time. God is with us. We live with God now. Annie Dillard is an author, and she talks about in a book called Pilgrim at Tinker Creek, and some of you may have heard me say this before, but it's really good. She talks about as she's walking, she tries to focus, and when her left foot hits the ground, she says, glory, and her right foot hits the ground, she says, amen, glory, amen, glory, amen, glory. Not being ridiculous, but you get the point. She does that at times to remind herself that she can be anywhere. And there is God present with her. Even as she's walking, glory, amen, glory. God is with you. You don't have to stop to realize God's presence. It can be with you as you're cooking a meal, or if you don't like to cook, it can be with you as you're going to a restaurant. It can be with you as you're in a meeting. It can be with you in the classroom. God's presence with you. But then there are some times when we need to stop. We need to realize God's full presence with us. All the time, but there are times when we do need to stop and slow down and focus on who God is. Look more closely at God's presence with us. Open our hearts, open our minds so that we can realize that God is with us and hear what he has to say. So we're to watch. I believe we're also to work. Jesus said in this passage this morning that there's going to be two in verse 40 says, two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. He goes on in verse 41, two women will be grinding with a handmill, one will be taken and one will be left. So the implication is that we're to be working in the meantime. While we're waiting, we are to be working. Ever watchful, but busy at the task at hand. As Jason was reading the Isaiah passage, you may have begun to catch a vision of what Isaiah was seeing of a peaceful world. And how we as believers, you know, should be about that task. A vision of a peaceful world, and even as we know, it really cannot be completely fulfilled until God makes it so. But in the meantime, we can be used by God for peaceful means. Now you say, well, Raymond, there's nothing in our society unpeaceful. You can look at families. If you have a teenager, you know what it means to sometimes not be peaceful. You can look around you in schools. They're not peaceful places most of the time. Amen, school teachers? Yeah, they're not peaceful. You can look at government, city, state. It's not peaceful. Conflict all around us. Look at our world. It's not a peaceful place right now. So we as believers can be used by God as peacekeepers. So even as we're called to watch, we're not supposed to sit down and look at our watches. Waiting for Jesus to come back. We're called to work. We're called to speak God's word to a divided and needy world. So we're to watch. I think we're supposed to be working. But finally, as we watch and as we work, I think we have to hope. We lit the candle of hope. And as we focus around the theme of hope, I think we need to understand that the watching and the awareness of God's presence leads to and gives us the strength to work. And the work kind of leads us to hope. Because without hope, we'll probably burn out in our work. You know, as we're working, there needs to be some goal. There needs to be something that we're working for. And what drives us to work and keeps us sustained and encouraged in our work is the hope of something to follow, right? Well, what is the hope that we have as believers? It's in Christ. It's hope. The knowledge that only God can bring order out of disorder. That He can bring peace out of chaos. That He can bring hope out of hopelessness. Vaclav Havel, and I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, he was the first post-communist president of Czechoslovakia. And he wrote about hope very poignantly in the 1980s while his country was still under communism and under that rule. And he said these words. He wrote, "Either we have hope within us or we don't. It's a dimension of the soul. Hope in this deep and powerful sense is an ability to work for something because it is good, not just because it stands a chance to succeed. It is also this hope above all which gives us the strength to live and continually to try new things, even in conditions that seem as hopeless as ours do here and now." He was writing while still under communist oppression. And his hope did come to fruition, at least in part. But for us as believers, our hope will become complete. It will become complete in God. And even on the days when hope seems distant, when the news that we get from all sources seems to be bad, you know, when the bombardment is such as you think, it's hopeless. It's not. Even when our lives, our own personal lives, seem to be as much in chaos as the world around us, even when those circumstances occur, you need to understand that hope is still there. God's promise to us as believers, He assures us that all is not lost, that He's still in control. You think about the first century world that Christ came into. Do your history. Study your history. It was a world that was pretty unruly. It was a world that was pretty unpeaceful. But God sent His one and only Son to bring hope. And to show us what hope and peace is in the person of Jesus. Understand that when you feel burdened and you feel that all is hopeless, God takes that off of your shoulders. He takes that burden off of your shoulders and gives you hope if you will allow Him to do so. That's His promise to us on this Sunday morning. We're called right now, this month, this season, Advent season, we are called as believers to watch. To pay attention to the glimpses of God's presence that He sends into our lives through people and circumstances. And if you do so, we will be able to see hope if we're able to look past the glitter and all the lights of the store displays and look past the crowds of frantic people. You know, we're called to watch not only as individuals, but we're called to watch together as a church. As we gather in worship, together to celebrate God with us, God's presence with us, to rejoice in the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. We're called to watch, but we're also called to work. To use the abilities and the circumstances that God has given us and placed us in to establish peace, to give to those who are needy, to give food to those who are hungry, to provide for the needs of people, not just fill empty space under a Christmas tree. And we're also called right now to hope, to be agents of hope, to cast aside cynicism and despair, and to embrace the hopeful vision that we've read about in Isaiah this morning, and to let it touch our lives right now and affect us, affect who we are. So this December, you know, we look forward to a day, we call it Christmas, Christ Mass. Christ with us. But even as we look forward to Christmas, we anticipate the second advent, the second coming of Christ. We don't know what that day will be. We don't know. But we know that when He comes, that hope will be fully realized in us and among all people. And all of God's children said, Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Father, You sent us Messiah, God with us, to show us about Yourself, to reveal who You are to us. And we are so thankful. Father, we feel Your presence with us. But sometimes, Father, we get so busy that we ignore Your presence with us. So we confess that to You now. And pray that during this Advent season that we would be children of hope. We would relax, we would rest in You, and allow others to see the source of the hope that we have. Because it's in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. This morning I hope that you have felt God's presence here as we worship together. And if maybe you're not a believer yet, and I say yet because I believe that God has placed you here this morning, it's no accident, to be among God's people and feel the presence of God, and that tugging that you feel on your heart this morning is God saying, I want to have a personal relationship with you. And so if you're not a believer, I want to invite you to come this morning. I'll be glad to share with you how you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. What better way to start the Advent season is to receive Jesus Christ and the gift that He's given you in His Son, in God's Son, Jesus Christ. So that's first priority. If you would like to receive Christ, come, and I'll be glad to share that with you. If you are a believer and maybe you would like to join this fellowship, there's many ways we receive members here. We'd be glad to share that with you. If you're a believer and maybe you just kind of need to refocus a little bit, you say, Raymond, that hurry thing, that was me, or whatever distraction, the altar will be open here. You can come and pray. You're certainly able to pray at your seat. However you would like to do that, to recommit yourself as a believer to live this Advent season every day from this day forward in the full presence of God. We invite you to settle that with God as we stand and sing together. I need to make you aware of the fact that Delilah Stinson's sister, Margaret Tosi, I know many of you know her. Those of you that are at Brook Ridge, you know her well. She has expressed the desire to be a part of this congregation. She was a member at Westview Baptist Church, which was a church in our association that has disbanded. They've closed their doors. And she desires membership here at College Park. She was physically unable to attend, but Jason went and visited with her this weekend, and she made this very clear that she considers this her new church home. And if you will pray for Margaret and encourage her and Delilah as you have a chance to do so, would you join me in saying amen?
Amen.
Thank you so much. Appreciate you being here this morning. Let's close together in a word of prayer. Our gracious Father, we come to you as your children. Father, we pray that the time that we've spent together will affect us. We pray that over and over again, Father, but we mean that. Our desire is to be more like you. So as we go from this place, help us to be your children, children of hope, to a world who desperately needs hope. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.